93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
HMS Cheesy Chips has been sunk. The Blues came away from Wearside with all 3 points at the weekend, defeating the holders of the illustrious Trafalgar Square Trophy in their own backyard. And once again, it was the star man who shone the brightest at the Stadium of Light, opening the scoring after just 6 minutes.
Jacobs has got an overlap and Harness in the area with a great chance and a goal! Portsmouth have the lead inside 6 minutes!
Marcus Harness continuing to show what he can do up top before allowing his striking partner to get in on the action.
It's John Marquis. Whistle blows. Marquis strikes it and scores. Sends the goalkeeper the wrong way. Portsmouth are 3-1 up at the Stadium of Light.
Pompey jumped up 3 places into 5th on Saturday as a result of that win. I bet that doesn't make the cut for Series 3. As always, we'd love to hear the post-match thoughts of you back home, the Fratton faithful. Get in touch before 7 o'clock this evening. Let us know your thoughts on how the Blues performed. If you want to see the gaffer completely turn his back on 4-4-2 and the man you would like to see come in for the injured Michael Jacobs. Don't forget to include your score prediction for tomorrow's floodlit fixture at PO42. Northampton Town are the visitors for that one. So stay tuned, keep it 93.7 Express FM, because you're listening now to the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Well, good evening, Pompey fans. Welcome to yet another edition of the Football Hour here on the only radio station proud to be passionately Pompey, Express FM. The show is once again this season sponsored by Stagecoach Across the South. Visit their website, stagecoach.co.uk, to find out key information regarding timetables, fares and the latest COVID-related guidelines. I'll tell you what, have we got a show lined up for you this evening. The Blues have once again claimed victory on the road, this time at the home of Sunderland, who just couldn't handle the attacking force of which Pompey deployed. How good does it feel then? Back home, I imagine you must be delighted with that one in particular. That's 5 wins from the last 6 in the league now, and Kenny Jackett's side now occupy a playoff position. Be sure to get in touch through the socials tonight. We want to hear your reaction from the weekend's game, who you'd like the Blues to be drawn against in the first round of the FA Cup, and your score predictions ahead of tomorrow night's visit of Northampton Town at Fratton Park. 81400 is the number to text. Be sure to start your messages with the word Express, followed by your name at the end, of course. Otherwise, it's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails, at expressfm on Twitter, or facebook.com/Pompey Live. So, why don't we take a listen back to that game now, then? I'm sure you're all just about aware of what's happened by now. I've already told you the scoreline, but it's always great to revisit a win, isn't it? On the commentary for Pompey's long trip up to the Stadium of Light was Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
It's the game of the day in the division. It's the two biggest clubs, and we're about to get underway, and Pompey immediately play it forward, and it goes out of play for a Sunderland throw. And really, the silence is eerie inside the Stadium of Light. And Williams has got space down the right-hand side. And Marquis trying to get in the middle. It's to Jacobs. Jacobs has got an overlap. And Harness in the area with a great chance and a goal. Portsmouth have the lead inside 6 minutes. For the second year running, Marcus Harness scores at the Stadium of Light. Really well worked. He couldn't miss. He slotted home with his left foot. It's Sunderland 0, Portsmouth 1. Sunderland trying to break into the penalty area, succeeding. And it's Tall back, and there's a chance for an equaliser. And Sunderland have it. Charlie White tapping in from inside the 6-yard box. The Portsmouth lead lasting just 2 minutes. Pompey cut open down the right-hand side. Ball pulled back. And there was no chance Sunderland were going to miss that one. It's Sunderland 1, Portsmouth 1.
cheaply win possession high up the pitch and a break into the penalty area. It's a great chance for Portsmouth, and the ball's in the back of the net, and John Marquis has re-established the lead. Sunderland shooting themselves in the foot, but Pompey punishing them to the full extent. Harness holding his nerve, slipping the ball through to Marquis, who fired into the far corner. It is Sunderland 1, Portsmouth 2. Williams to Johnson, and Johnson crossed into the box. Marquis's header, flag goes up. Flag goes up, it's not going to count. As Marquis heads it into the net, he's offside, and it's still 2-1 to Pompey. And Marquis is trying to get Williams away in the penalty area, and Williams is onside, and Williams goes to ground, and it'll be a penalty kick to Portsmouth. Williams got goal side of 09. That may well be it for Luke 09. He's already on a booking. Referee coming across to speak to him. The penalty's been awarded. This will be an early bar for Luke 09. The second yellow card is shown. He gets a red. Sunderland are down to 10 men, and Portsmouth have a golden opportunity to make the 3 points safe with 7 minutes remaining. And Marquis with the chance, you would say, to make this game safe for Portsmouth. He's already got one on the 25th minute, a fine finish. Marquis has got about a five-step run-up in front of the Roker end. Hands on hips, John Marquis, whistle blows. Marquis strikes it and scores, sends the goalkeeper the wrong way. Portsmouth are 3-1 up at the Stadium of Light. Surely they're heading now for a significant victory. It's Sunderland 1, Portsmouth 3. And Curtis hooks away, referee looks at his watch and decides that will do. And Portsmouth have their most significant victory of the season, and possibly their best performance of the season here at the Stadium of Light. They have beaten Sunderland by 3-1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from Pompey's 3-1 victory over Sunderland on Saturday afternoon. You'd have to go back as far as November 2008, just under 12 years ago, to find the last time the Blues came away from Wearside with all 3 points. Nadir Belhadj and Jermaine Defoe were on the score sheet in that 2-1 win, with Tony Adams leading from the dugout. And as it happened, Grant Leadbitter, who played 81 minutes against Pompey over the weekend, also started that match. Don't forget, before 7, we want to hear the thoughts of you back home too. Your positives, negatives, predictions and questions as well. We'll do our very best to get through as many as we can. And those helping me to get through the next hour or so are now ready and waiting in the wings to be invited on. So let's bring them in now. First of all, a good evening and welcome back to Mr. Freddie Webb. Freddie, thank you for calling in tonight. How was your weekend, mate?
My weekend was great, yeah, because the Portsmouth performance on Saturday was excellent, wasn't it? It was a complete shift to the Doncaster game last Saturday, and we'll go through all the positives from that game.
Plenty of positives, Freddie. And the last time we spoke was in September, as the Blues had opened their League One campaign with consecutive 0-0 draws against Shrewsbury and Rochdale. Since then, Freddie, a lot has changed. Formations, faces, results, and even to some extent, the style of football. That's 5 wins from the last 6 for Pompey now in the league. Have we turned a corner?
Potentially, yeah. I think we'll have to wait and see what happens in the next few weeks, because Kenny Jack is the sort of manager where if the team are getting results, he'll stick with the same system. So I expect he'll stick with the 4-4-2, the high-pressing 4-4-2 that did very well against Gillingham and Sunderland now, until the results change, and then depending on the injuries, he might change some things. But yeah, if he continues down the route that he's chosen now, I think it could be very positive for Portsmouth.
Alongside you, Freddie, tonight, making his Football Hour debut is Alex Macy. Alex, it's a pleasure to speak to you and to have you on the show this evening.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you for having me.
Alex, of course, it is still early days, and we all know that there'll be some tough weeks ahead. It won't be plain sailing for the Blues this season, we know that. But how great is it to be supporting them right now, in a good position in the table at last, picked up some good results of late, and we actually look a strong side who play some positive, dangerous attacking football?
Yeah, much easier than it was this time last week. I think that is safe to say. Yeah, I was really impressed with Pompey at the weekend in terms of both their incision and their press, I suppose. I think it was one of the first times I can remember Pompey meaningfully pressing in the opposition's half under Kenny Jackett. I mean, usually I can think of maybe Ellis Harrison or John Marquise doing it as a solo job, but it was just a good team effort on Saturday, and the ball was played on the floor far more than we've seen for the start of the season.
Yeah, and not to get carried away, Freddie, but that does seem to be like a statement win. We seem to have grabbed the attentions of the attention of the teams around us now in League One. We came away from the Gillingham game on Tuesday night last week with a 2-0 win at Priestfield. And the question after that game was, well, can we back that up with a victory against Sunderland, who had yet to lose a game this season? They only conceded once up until Saturday afternoon. They were going to be a very tough opponent at the Stadium of Light. And that question has seemed to be answered. We have beaten a contender this season. So, yeah, a turning point, as you mentioned, but it obviously not getting too carried away just yet.
No. That was the best thing about it. Sunderland's defensive record is excellent, and the way they set up, they could have made it very hard for Portsmouth to have any sort of offensive capabilities at all with the three at the back that could easily change into a five. But it was the fact that Portsmouth pressed their three centre halves. Mm. They pressed the three centre halves and then managed it and didn't rely on crossing too much. Sometimes that's good, but against Sunderland, where they can pack the penalty area defensively, it was good that they played the ball around on the floor outside the penalty area, looked for those through balls, and that's how Harness and Marquis got their goals. And that's how, for example, we're probably going to talk about Marquis later on, that's how he scored all his goals for Doncaster. So it was a positive to see.
We've got plenty of interaction coming in to us, lads, which is fantastic to see after a victory, of course. Alan Stimson, he says on Facebook, 4-4-2 really suits us. Harness looks great and Marquis looks comfortable for the first time. Jacobs is a revolution. Trevor Emmett says, but wins breed confidence and confidence breeds consistency. The nature of a win on Saturday against a highly rated team and on their own patch, for what's worth in these strange days, should be all big positives. Pompey can compete this season for sure, says Trevor on Facebook. And then Matt Reed also gets in on the action. He says, great performance. Two up top is what's required to see Big John gain a sliver of confidence. It is great. Massive shame about Jacobs as he looked to Jem, but Curtis isn't a half bad replacement. Onwards, upwards, and let's keep the momentum, says Matt on Facebook. And let's talk about that Michael Jacobs injury now then, Alex. And Jacobs, a player who over the last few weeks has come into the side. He started a few games and really revitalised things going forward. Unfortunate to hear this afternoon that he was likely to be out for the next 4 to 6 weeks. A massive blow for Pompey heading into what will be a very busy period in November. However, as Matt just mentioned there on Facebook, Ronan Curtis, not half bad replacement for him.
No, I don't think many League One teams are going to have a Ronan Curtis to fall back on. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he fits kind of this new system with two up top. I think Ronan likes to obviously cut him from the left. We know that. And if we can emulate the running behind that we were doing on Saturday, it could be very effective for his game. I think he just needs a couple of good performances, maybe a goal to get that confidence back, because we know how much he does rely on confidence, as a lot of flair players do.
Yeah, and speaking of Pompey's attacking prowess now, Freddie, we spoke a lot about it on Friday night, and we were really singing the praises of really the front four of which Pompey deployed at Gillingham. The same thing continued on Saturday at Sunderland. Marcus Harness once again proving what he can do at this level. John Marquis got another two goals. He seems to be, you know, really on form now. We seem to have unlocked his, you know, scoring abilities. Michael Jacobs, we just mentioned. Ryan Williams, I think, has put in a very, you know, a few decent good shifts on the wing as well. Seems to go a little bit unnoticed due to the players around him. But with two up top, with the attacking threat that we do possess, and with the backup on the bench with Jacobs and Harrison both injured, we've got Jordi Huula, who is still yet to feature, Ronan Curtis coming back into the side. Do you actually believe that maybe Pompey have got one of, if not on paper, the best attacking force in the division?
On paper, absolutely. They're up there now. I think the Jordi Huula signing midweek was a very classy one. He played very well for Coventry. They played a 4-3-3, and he either played up front on his own or on the left-hand side, cutting inside in a similar way that Ronan Curtis does. And if Portsmouth go with the 4-4-2, I think Portsmouth have a lot of depth there, because if you look at the players like Huula, like Curtis, if they get a lot of injuries, they could both play up front in a pinch or in midfield in a pinch. So I think the depth is there. Also, don't have to worry about who's going to play in attacking midfield or the number 10 anymore. Harness looks very, very good up front, which I didn't think he would be, because he's never properly played there before. Even for Burton, he only played as attacking midfielder a couple of times. But I think it's just the freedom that he's given to be up front alongside John Marquis has really helped his game a lot. He looks like a top quality player.
Yeah.
And looks to be above this division at the moment.
A few more of you getting in touch back home. Blake O'Neill says, much better than before. Lots of positives to take from the game. For example, 4-4-2 seems to work a treat for us much better than the 4-2-3-1, which should be gone by now. Suits our players much better. Marquis and Harness up there together looks very dangerous. Marquis is getting goals and Curtis is finally being pressured. Defence looks much better than a few weeks ago with Rasmus still available on the bench. If we continue like this onwards, it could be good. Thank you to Blake for getting in touch. And Grant Beeson, he's got in touch as well. He says, I think it is the same formation. They just have a lot more flexibility and movement from the three. So at times they give up width to play up front too. Jacobs and Harness are good footballers to make this formation work, and Marquis is certainly benefiting from it. I also got to say that Sean Raggett has his limitations, but actual defending, like meeting and winning the ball, covering people, he is actually very good. I know I'll be shouted down for that, but if people watch the games, they will see that it's true. I think Andy Cannon has added energy next to Naylor. All in all, looks a lot brighter than it did last Saturday. Play at Pompey, says Grant on Facebook. And he mentions a few very good points there, Grant, on Facebook there, Alex, and notably about Sean Raggett, who potentially has... He's got his critics, and you could say, but maybe he's become a bit of a scapegoat for Pompey over the last season or so now. And don't get me wrong, I'm one of those who did believe he had a bit of a slow start to the season. But over the last few weeks or so, a clean sheet on Tuesday night against Gillingham, a very good performance out of the weekend against Sunderland. It's hard to see him dropped out of the team now. I know a lot of people are very hungry to see Rasmus Nicolaisen included, but how do you drop a Sean Raggett and Jack Watmer partnership who are actually performing very well at the back?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think a lot of the problems fans might have with Sean Raggett is he's not always the most conventional of centre-backs, you'd have to say. I mean, if we look at the sort of runs he likes to go on or that, the way he likes to flick down the left, it does sometimes not fill you with the best confidence. But you can't really disagree with the partnership him and Watmore have formed, and also the partnership he formed with Burgess last season.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't really have any blame for Kenny Jackett for not dropping him at this point.
No. Lads, thank you very much for seeing us through the opening stages, but it is now time to take a break and move on with the conversation. And when we return, the three of us will be continuing to pick up the positives from Saturday's victory, reading out your texts, tweets and emails, and previewing tonight's FA Cup first round draw. Who would you like the Blues to face in the first round next month? Do you even care? Would you be bothered if Pompey were knocked out early on to focus on league matters? Now, usually I'd only really ask these questions about EFL trophy games, but with supporters unable to attend matches just yet, I imagine there may be a few of you out there, at least, who aren't too fussed about the magic of the FA Cup this season. I might be wrong. Get in touch, let me know how you feel and who you think will get drawn against. Start your text with the word Express followed by your name and message. Send those to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com. Tweet using @expressfm or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/pompeylive. And we'll also be hearing the post-match thoughts of Joe Gallen when we return for part two of this Monday Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Football Hour here on Express FM, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Buses. Download their app today from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan your next journey. And remember to wear a face covering throughout your travels on public transport. As promised before we branched off into that last break, we're going to hear now from Joe Gallen, who was on media duties following the 3-1 victory on Wearside at the weekend.
The second half, you had to dig deep a fair amount.
Well, you have to expect a half-time when it's 2-1, you have to expect Sunderland to come at you, and they did. I mean, they probably had quite a good chance in the first 5 seconds of that first half where the ball dropped to Maguire in the box. And then we knew we had a big 20 minutes to overcome, and we knew we had to stay compact, and we knew they'd put balls in the box and all the usual stuff where you've got to win the first header and you've got to get blocks in. But then, you know, we wanted them to be able to spring some counter-attacks, and as the half wore on, probably about the 65th minute, we were able to get a foothold back in the game, get some football going in the middle third, and we broke quickly and at pace. And then the third goal, the penalty, come from that.
The one negative, Michael Jacobs coming off, how is he?
Yeah, I initially thought it hurt his ankle. He had some ice on his ankle at half time. I think there's an issue with his knee. Not exactly sure what it is. I'm sure there'll be a scan to find that out. But it's in terms of the next few games, you know, I'm not too sure that Michael Jacobs is, you know, unfortunately for us, going to be with us. So there'll be a scan Monday or Tuesday, and we'll find out what the damage is.
Can you just think back 7 days ago? You know, you just lost to Doncaster. Did you honestly believe that you could turn around and get 6 points in this way in the week coming up?
Well, I know I don't sort of do the press often, but the thing is, when you ask someone like me that, then the answer is yes, because I'm like, as you know, Andrew, I'm like the eternal optimist, and I always think that we're, you know, even if you have a bad performance or a loss, I always feel that. Some tweaks, maybe change the system a little bit, maybe change the personnel around a little bit. I always feel we can find, and ultimately it's Kenny's, you know, Kenny's decision, and I always trust him to find the winning equation. And so you'd be asking me that, the answer is yes. You know, I always believe we can. We can play well and do well. I think the thing is, it's looking so far this season is, you know, we've done better away from home, which is. Obviously not how it's been for us, probably since we've been at the club, especially in the last two seasons. We've done very well at home, very well, as good as anyone, good as anyone in the country. And away from home, we haven't done as well. It just looks at the moment, for whatever reason, that it's sort of just changed. So that, we're not happy about that. We, you know, we've got two home games coming now, and we need to start again Tuesday night, and we need to put on a performance and get 3 points.
Just finally, what message does this result send to the rest of the division to end the final remaining unbeaten record?
It does. I mean, and mainly the thing it does is it just gives the players so much belief in themselves and so much confidence, because up until today, they had Sunderland had only conceded one goal, probably in the first 5 minutes of the first game, haven't conceded a goal. I mean, and you know, we scored three today, and there could have been more, especially in the first half. So, you know, I can't underestimate and congratulate and say congratulations to the players. Ultimately, they performed very well now in two away games, and the belief and confidence that brings, hopefully we should get some a confident display full of belief on Tuesday night.
The reaction there from Pompey assistant manager Joe Gallen, who spoke to Andy Moon on the touchline after Saturday's win over the Mackhams. Okay, going to bring Alex and Freddie back into the conversation now. Going to come to you now, Freddie. Joe Gallen mentioned there about Pompey's home and away records this season. Now, in previous seasons, we've seen Pompey's home record has been pretty much, you know, spot on. You know, undefeated at home, of course, throughout the entirety of, okay, an albeit cut short a campaign last season. But even in previous seasons, we can rely on our home record to see us over the line, or at least kind of, you know, pick up the points from, you know, we've missed out on our travels. This season seems to be a bit of an alternative one, where we've seen it almost flip. The away form from Pompey, we have the best away form in the division. We've played 4, won 3, drawn 1, and scored 9, conceded 3. 10 points from those 4 games, whereas at home, we sit 17th on the table. Played 4, we've only won once, and we've been defeated twice. We spoke about on Friday about how and why that may be, and pretty much the conclusion of that was that, you know, the lack of supporters, games being played behind closed doors is probably having the biggest impact on that. And we suggested that it may play into our favour at the weekend at Sunderland, whereas they don't have the 20,000-30,000 fans behind them throughout the 90 minutes. So it just goes to show, really, that actually these, you know, these restricted, or, you know, these lack of capacities at stadiums at an elite level really is having an impact on the bigger sides in the league.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, I think if anybody's watched any level of football this season, the home advantage that many teams have, that's gone completely out the window.
Yeah.
Players aren't intimidated by the home fans if either A, they're not used to it, if they play for a smaller team, or B, if they're not mentally strong enough to deal with a crowd, especially a crowd like Portsmouth at home. So yeah, I think there'll be a lot of focus this season on home and away form. But I think the main thing you have to focus on is more the results first, but more importantly, how well the team played, especially in each game, instead of just looking at home and away form. I think even last season, Portsmouth fans have seen it so many times, Portsmouth can go on these long runs of very, very good results, but the performances haven't been there, and that has come to bite the team when it matters at the end. So I think the focus has to be getting the tactics right, moving from there.
Yeah, a few tweets I'd like to read out from Pompey fans over the weekend. Graham Price says, "We'd like to just point out that it took us 12 games to reach the 14-point mark last season. It looks like this team is starting to gel." Jim Bonner says, "Weathered the early storm and then started the counter-attacks, which eventually led to the penalty. The convincing win we all craved has finally come, and now we need to keep this going. Superb results and overall performance." Thank you to Jim. On Twitter there. A couple of emails too. Aaron Swift has got in touch. He says, "I just cannot understand how a team like Pompey can be almost in relegation form and then just turn into a top team, beating one of its highly rated promotion rivals. And we haven't yet introduced two highly rated players like Rasmus and Jordi Hawula. How do these two fit in now? The two main suspects, I guess, injuries and suspensions. Could it be just too late to win the title? Stranger things have happened, like when we went out of the blue to win the League Two title. I for one believe that it is now within our grasp, and if we keep up anywhere near this form, I wonder what Sunderland thought after being beaten so well as well. I think it proves my point that there's no longer any home advantage with these COVID restrictions." Thank you to Alan for getting in touch in Southsea. He also predicts a 3-0 Pompey win against Northampton Town tomorrow night. And Alan highlighted there, Alex, the impact of injuries and suspensions, and really the injury to Ellis Harrison at home to Doncaster Rovers just over a week ago really was the reason why John Marquis has been included within the last two games. And you win, obviously never ever wish an injury upon any Pompey player at all. And Ellis Harrison was fantastic for us at the start of the season. However, we all questioned that when he became injured and John Marquis had started the season slowly, wasn't really scoring too many goals when he was given the opportunities. He's now come back hungry. He's now scored 3 goals in the last two games. Sort of a blessing in disguise. I mean, from his point of view, it came at the perfect time for him to show the manager what he is capable of. Now that he's been left out of the team for a few weeks, he's now come back stronger. And that actually has benefited Pompey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I obviously don't think you can undermine the ability Marcus Harness has had on John Marquis's form the last couple of games as well. Just to have someone up there with him. And I mean, even in Marquis's hold-up play the last couple of games, he has been coming short still, but he's been getting that ball into his feet, whereas someone like Ellis Harrison is probably better suited to that more direct approach where you play it to the head, to the chest. We've seen over the last season or so, Marquis isn't as good as doing that. And the third goal on Saturday proved. I mean, Marquis came short, and that wasn't an issue because he had Marcus Arnas ahead of him and Rowan Williams making the run down so Marquis could get his head up. But a lovely through ball to Williams, and that ended up in the penalty. So I think, obviously, you don't want to wish injury on Ellis Harrison. I think he's a very good option for us, but it is great to see John Marquis playing a more crucial role than he has done previously.
Yeah, provides a big question ahead of the next few games now then, Freddie. And we're hearing that Ellis Harrison may be fit enough to return back into contention for Saturday's visit of Charlton to Fratton Park. Of course, he won't feature tomorrow against Northampton Town. And with the Michael Jacobs injury too, it gives Pompey just another option in attack. And you can't see John Marquis being dropped at this minute. Neither can you see Marcus Harness coming out of the team. So where does Ellis Harrison actually fit within this squad, which has performed so well over the last week or two?
Well, like with many players coming back from injury, if their spot is taken, especially in this case, Harness and Marquis, the partnership, they're doing very, very well. Harris will start on the bench, maybe get subbed on with 20 minutes to go if something isn't working, and maybe he'll start some cup games midweek. He will get chances, especially now with the league going more Saturday, Tuesday, two games a week. I would like to see him in that front two, yeah, either with Marquis or Harness, especially next to him.
Steve.
So I don't think they'll be very. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. Stephen Jerome on the emails, he's feeling very positive tonight. He says, "Good evening, lads. It was a great team performance from Pompey on Saturday. We really looked like a team full of confidence. It was good to see Marcus Harness back in the team and scoring again after his injury, but it was a shame to see Jacobs go off injured. I hope the injury isn't too serious and he's not out for too long." Well, 4 to 6 weeks we're hearing, Stephen, unfortunately. He goes on to say, "But I think John Marquis is really growing in confidence now, and it showed with another 2 goals against Sunderland, although you have to admit it was a terrible mistake at the back from a defender for our second goal. I don't know what on earth he was doing. He just passed the ball straight to Marcus Harness. Sometimes in football you make your own luck, and we certainly did that by pressing them, put them under pressure and force them into that mistake. I hope now that Kenny sticks with a 4-4-2 system because we play a lot better with two up top. We've had a really good week. Hopefully we can keep it going tomorrow night at home. Finally, I'd like to say a huge well done to the Pompey women, of course, after their brilliant win against Gillingham yesterday afternoon. They scored a late winner to go second in the table, which is fantastic. So a big congratulations to them. They've had a great start to the season so far. And long may it continue. Play at Pompey, Stephen Southsea. Yeah, very good point, Stephen. Three wins in a row for Pompey women now, all at home as well at the Draper Tools Community Stage in Wesley Park, of course, home of Havant towards Louisville. Fantastic start to the campaign. All round great weekend for Pompey. Don't forget, Pompey fans back home, just like Stephen there, you can have your voices heard here on the show tonight. Be sure to get a hold of us before 7 o'clock this evening. What do you think the Blues will get draw against in tonight's FA Cup first round draw? Who do you think should replace the injured Michael Jacobs for tomorrow night's visit to Northampton Town? And where would Ellis Harrison fit within this informed team when he returns from his injury? He could be back as early as Saturday, but how do you include him within the starting 11? If you don't know them by now, these are the ways to get in touch tonight. It's at ExpressFM if you're on Twitter, Pompey at ExpressFM.com on the emails, it's facebook.com/PompeyLive, or you can send in a text to 81400, but remember to include the word express at the start of your message to make sure they reach me here in the studio, and be sure to include your score predictions for tomorrow's game at home to Northampton as well. We're going to move on now to the FA Cup first round draw, which takes place in just over half an hour's time. The draw for the first round of the FA Cup would include, of course, all of the League 1 and 2 teams, as well as the qualified non-league teams who enter the first round proper. We're going to take a look at some of the names and numbers for that draw. The most important one, of course, is Pompey, who will be ball number 37. Now, balls number 1 to 48, of course, the League 1 and 2 teams, are done in alphabetical order. So, for example, Accrington Stanley are ball number 1. AFC Wimbledon, ball number 2, goes down to Crewe, who are ball number 15, for example. And all the way down to Wigan Athletic, ball number 48. And that's where it gets interesting after that. 49 through to number 80 are where the non-league sides come into it. We're going to read through some of the, well, in my opinion, some of more interesting ones in the tide tonight. Darlington, number 49. Skelmersdale United are ball number 50. They are the lowest ranked team still in the competition, ninth tier of football they play in. Number 52 is Banbury United. 53, South Shields, who play in Sunderland. And if what Ryan Stilwell was saying on the way back home from Sunderland on Saturday night, he thinks we might get them and we'll have to go all the way back up there again. Hopefully not. If not, Hartlepool United are ball number 54, which is another long trip for myself and Ryan. AFC Fylde, ball number 59. They won in yesterday's game. Cray Valley PM, ball number 61. They're based in London. Hayes and Yedding are 63. Bromley, of course, Rico Hackett Fairchild on loan at Bromley, ball number 64. 67, Woking would be a nice short journey for the Blues. 71, Oxford City. 72, Dulwich Hamlet. 73, East Lee, of course, that side based near Southampton. And ball number 75, this is probably my favourite ball of the draw, Havant and Waterlooville. The Hawks are in the first round proper of the FA Cup. What a win it was for them on Saturday, 3-0 against Bath City. And then just a few of the later numbers in the draw, 78, Bishops, Stortford, Orson, Auburn City, or number 80, which is Chorley. They round up the 80 sides in the first round draw. It's going to be a long one. And as you can imagine, you probably think Pompey are going to be drawn out last. It always works out that way, doesn't it? So those are some of the more notable numbers. Didn't really go through many of the Football League teams because, well, what's so interesting about that? Alex, Freddie, Alex, we'll start with you. Look at the teams who are in the competition at the moment. Who do you predict Pompey will get? Now, I'd normally ask who you would perhaps want Pompey to get at this stage, but unfortunately, without supporters being able to attend, it doesn't seem like it's going to really matter too much. So who are you predicting that we're going to get and why?
Who are we going to get? It'll probably be a bit of an undesirable draw, won't it? Yeah. I'm more thinking negatively who I wouldn't want us to get, so that'll probably be a League One team. I don't know, something like Rochdale or something mundane, yeah. Like that. Rochdale away.
I hope not. Freddie, what are you thinking? I mean, as Alex just mentioned there, we're probably going to be treated to a nice boring game at home to Accrington and Stanley or something. No disrespect to Accrington and Rochdale, by the way, but you know we're going to be doing that anyway this season. So we're obviously wanting maybe a non-league team, an obscure side we've perhaps never played against, or even having towards Louisville away or at home. What are you thinking?
From a selfish point of view, a team that I would like to get is a team like South Shields, because they're below the National League North and I could probably sleep myself in, yep, depending on what their crowds are. But you always look for the romantic draw, don't you? It would be great if Borussia can play Haven in the first round.
Yeah.
That'll be a proper local derby that every you can get involved in.
Yeah. Let's look at the prize money that the winners will get for certain rounds. The first round, the victors will get £22,600. Second round, for winning that, you get £34,000. Third round, £82,000. Fourth round, £90,000. If we get as far as the fifth round, it's £180,000 for the winners of the fifth round. Very, really much point to talk about the quarterfinals, semi-finals, £360,000 for the quarterfinals, £900,000 for winning the semis, and the losers get half of that, and the final, £1.8 million. We can dream, can't we? We can dream. Pompey FA Cup winners 2021. That would be quite some story, wouldn't it? Okay, lads, we are just about going to get to the second and final break of the evening. Pompey fans, this is your final reminder to get in touch with us tonight. We are fast approaching the latter stage of the show, and you have just under 20 minutes to get your final thoughts and predictions into us before we head off around 7 p.m. It's 81400 on the text. Start with the word Express. Pompey at expressfm.com is our email address. Include at ExpressFM within your tweets, or visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. Why don't you do that now as we approach the second and final break of the night, and join myself, Freddie and Alex for the conclusion of the Football Hour in just a few moments' time. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the final part of this Monday Football Hour on Express FM, brought to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. For the most reliable and the cheapest bus service on the island and surrounding areas, head over to stagecoach.co.uk for more information on fares, timetables and frequently asked questions relating to COVID restrictions. We're going to move on with tonight's show by previewing the Blues' next league fixture. It's back to PO4 tomorrow evening, where Pompey have struggled to hold down the fortress they built last season. Two defeats from four matches at Fratton have dampened the spirits on the home turf, though Kenny Jackett will be looking to put that in the past and secure a third consecutive league victory come 9:30. Here now with a closer look at tomorrow night's opposition is the magnificent Robbie James.
After a statement was sent out by the Blues to the rest of the division at the weekend, we return to look ahead to yet another league fixture. It was the Black Cats of Sunderland who failed to stop Pompey in their tracks on Saturday, and the next test for Kenny Jackett's men is newly promoted Northampton Town.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
The Cobblers return to League One via the League Two playoffs, defeating serial losers Exeter City by 4-0 at Wembley in June. Standout performers of last term, Charlie Good and Callum Morton, are no longer at the club, who are strongly tipped to fall straight back down. But what do we know about the Northampton side, who are embarking on an unlikely mission to survive?
Manager.
Former Manchester City centre-back Keith Curl is the man in charge of the Cobblers. The 56-year-old, who has been in the management game for over 18 years now, officially from playing in 2005. The Bristol-born gaffer has overseen first-team management of six different clubs: Mansfield Town, Chester City, Torquay United, Notts County, Carlisle United, and now, of course, Northampton Town. Despite his lengthy career in management in the English game, Keith Curl has just one Football League promotion on his CV. Even that only came this year when he led his current side to League Two playoff glory at Wembley to reach this division. The style of play Curl likes to apply is unattractive, rushed and often hoofball-like, with his sides often deploying frustrating tactics which restrict opposition teams from seeing too much of the ball in their possession.
One to watch.
Former French youth international and current senior Congo international Christopher Misilou has been earmarked as one of Keith Curl's most impressive signings of the summer transfer window. The 28-year-old midfielder has been described by fans as an engine in the centre of the park and has been somewhat controlling things for the Cobblers so far this season. The former Auxerre and Stade Brest man joined Northampton on a one-year deal on July the 27th, having left Oldham Athletic in League 2. The midfielder, who made over 70 Football League appearances for the Latics, represents his new club with the number 27.
Top scorer.
Ricky Corboa played in the 10th tier before signing for the Cobblers in the summer, but has looked bright in League One, featuring regularly and scoring twice in the league. As a result, he stands as Northampton's leading scorer at this early stage. The 23-year-old, who wears the number 11 at Sixfields, has signed for an undisclosed fee on September the 1st from non-league Carshalton Athletic, with whom he spent seven seasons at. Whilst playing for the Robins, the winger managed 168 appearances and scored 55 goals, as well as making it into the Isthmian League Team of the Season for 2018-2019 and winning five of Carshalton's seven Player of the Year awards at the same campaign. Corbeau was one of the original attendees of Jamie Vardy's V9 Academy, which was set up with the intention of helping non-league talents earn contracts at professional clubs in 2017.
Current form.
The Cobblers sit 19th in the league, having picked up just 7 points from their opening eight matches. Seven goals have been scored, while 14 let in up the other end. Northampton have lost five of their last six league matches, with the only victory within that period coming over Swindon Town last Tuesday. Their most recent outing saw them defeated 2-0 at home by Charlton Athletic. Altogether, Keith Kell's side have now won two, drawn one, and lost five of their opening eight league matches. So can Kenny Jackett steer Pompey to a third straight victory when they take on Northampton Town at Fratton Park? Find out by catching all of the unmissable action as it unfolds on Pompey Live.
The ins and outs of the Cobblers there, as you've just heard from Robbie James. Thank you to Robbie for helping out with that one. Big game tomorrow night, then. You can't help but feel that thready web. Who joins me back over the phone lines now. Northampton Town at home, of course, after two victories on the road against Gillingham and Sunderland. Our home form hasn't been great so far this season. Many factors could be pinned down to that. But it's important now that we come up against a team who, let's face it, will be tipped for relegation this season. We've got to go up against them tomorrow night and really keep that winning momentum going.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, we'll have to get on the front foot in the first 20 minutes at least. Northampton Town have struggled since they lost a lot of their good players, especially Charlie Good at centre-half. They're currently in the bottom half of the League One table in terms of expected goals and successful dribbles. So Keith Kerr will probably look to set up his team to frustrate Portsmouth. The longer Portsmouth go without scoring a goal, then it could be some issues. But if Portsmouth play like they did in the last two games, I'm not really worried.
Yeah, and we've got a few more text tweets and emails coming in as well. I'm going to read them out before we do branch over at 7 o'clock. Gav Jones on Twitter. Good evening, Jake. He says, with regards to getting Harrison back in the team, my only suggestion would be to put him back up top with Marquis and move Harness back out to the right. As much as I love what Harness brought up front, it's the only logical way to get Ellis Harrison in. Thank you to Gav Jones for your input there on Twitter. Roger in Gosport. Good evening to you, Roger. He says, I take my hat off to Kenny Jackett as I feel he has to take some of the credit as well as the players. It's nice not to hear any negatives. Keep faith, Roger and Gosport. You're very right there, Roger. What a fantastic weekend it's been for Pompey. And Mockers on Twitter, don't forget the FA Cup first round proper draw tonight, lads. Of course, we haven't forgot about that, Mockers. We are looking forward to that one. He then goes on to say, Banbury away, if you want, Mockers. I'm not too sure what's in Banbury. Let us know what's in Banbury. I'm not too sure. And then an email from Graham Wilkins. Hi, lads. Firstly, it was a great win on Saturday, but credit has to go to Jackett for not changing a winning team. Marquis looks a different player with Harness playing up top with him, and our midfield looks a lot more solid with Cannon and Naylor in there. Shame about the injury to Jacobs, but that will give Curtis the chance to shine once again. He just needs a goal to get his season going. As for the FA Cup draw tonight, I'd like to get one of the so-called minnows away, but knowing the draw, we'll get Sunderland, Plymouth, or Oxford away. Thank you to Graham for getting involved on the emails there. And speaking ahead to tomorrow night's game, of course, at home to Northampton, then Alex. And of course, we mentioned how Michael Jacobs will be out with an injury up to, well, potentially 6 weeks, pending a scan, which we are waiting to hear back from. A chance for Ronan Curtis to stake his claim back into a starting 11.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think tomorrow is going to be key as well. Sunderland and Gillingham both played quite high defences compared to what I'd expect Northampton to be playing tomorrow. You'd expect them to be much deeper. So I think that gives a chance for players like Ronan Curtis to try and be innovative and work out how to get in behind, because the runners were so key for us the last couple of games. He just needs a goal, doesn't he? He just needs a bit of confidence. And there's no reason he can't get that tomorrow night.
No. A few more emails coming in, plenty to get through before we do leave you at 7 o'clock. Linda Mayle, good evening to you, Linda. She says, hi, after the great last two wins, especially on Saturday, we have to build on it. What was great on Saturday was the team came together and we had a formation that suited the team, especially with Marquis. I think the team stood strong after half-time, and then I think a couple of weeks ago we could have folded. It was just about what the team and supporters needed, but we need to build on it and not undo the good work. Onwards and upwards, play at Pompey. Very spot on with that email. Thank you, Linda Mayle. And then one in from John Ellington from Stubbington. He says, the last two performances have been much better, but we must now show consistency, and not go back to the bad old ways of a couple of good performances, followed by a couple of bad ones. Once again, thank you, John, for getting in touch on Twitter there. In regards to the Ellis Harrison situation then, Freddie, you know, we mentioned how he could be back on Saturday for the visit of Charlton Athletic. Where does he fit within this team then? Because Marcus Harness up top with John Marquis, it's difficult to see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think Kane Jacket will make any changes. Maybe Harrison coming in instead of Harness and then putting Harness on the right wing might be good in this game, as it will take away the two centre halves from Northampton. If Harness is up, Harrison's up there with him, it'll create a lot more space for Marquis, but it just depends on how fit he is, really. If there's any doubt, I think he should just start on the bench and keep the same team as Saturday.
Stephen Jerome got back in touch on the emails. Looking forward to watching the FA Cup draw tonight. Of course, the FA Cup games won't be the same as usual without fans and attendance, but it's still a special competition. I don't mind who we get, as long as we avoid an embarrassing first-round defeat against a non-league team. Also going for a 3-0 Pompey win tomorrow against Northampton. Stephen Salsey, thank you for getting in touch. And just a quick final word from you, Alex, before we do move on with the conversation. So tonight is the FA Cup first-round draw. We've already highlighted it, and you know, with what's going on with supporters not being able to attend, do you believe that actually this could be the season where we, you know, if we get knocked out the first hurdle, it's not actually going to matter too much? You know, the bread and butter this season in particular is the league. Would a cup run interfere with that?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of seasons we've had this debate, haven't we? Because we've done under Kenny Jacket pretty well, especially in the FA Cup and the Checker trade. So, I mean, in an already condensed season, I don't think we particularly need a cup run. Apart from the financial side, we're not going to have much benefit from getting that big tie away. So I think it would be more beneficial, especially in this strange season that we do. Yeah. We don't go too far.
Okay, lads, thank you very much. We are running short of time now. Not long before we reach the end of the show, we'll come to your score predictions in just a few moments' time. But first, we're going to head over to Ryan Honey, who talks us through all of the results picked up by our local non-league and women's sides over the course of this weekend.
Havant to Waterlooville booked their place in the first round of the FA Cup on Saturday with a comfortable 3-0 win away to Bath City. The Hawks, who still remain unbeaten this campaign, reached this particular round for the first time since 2014. Baffin's Milton Rovers got back to winning ways with a 3-0 victory over Bournemouth. Goals from Josh Warren, Tommy Scutt and Blue Bone ensured Rovers secured their third league win of the season. Pompey Women came from behind to beat Gillingham Women 2-1 on Sunday. Becky Barr started the comeback midway through the first half and Ava Rowbottom completed it 5 minutes from time to give the Blues all 3 points. Gosport Ladies eased their way into the next round of the Cup after beating NMO Ladies 15-1 at Privet Park. Gosport Borough returned to league action on Tuesday night when they travelled to Poole Town. The hosts have won each of their last three games at Tattenham. Meanwhile, Borough, who haven't won there in their last two visits, will be searching for their second away win of the season. Moneyfields, who didn't play over the weekend, were scheduled to take on Baffin's Milton Rovers tonight in a friendly match, but it has since been called off due to the rain forecast.
As always, thank you to Ryan there for providing us with that piece. He'll be back on Friday evening to preview another busy weekend of action for our featured teams. And don't forget Henry Deacon live from 6 o'clock Wednesday evening with Over the White Line with a more in-depth look at the weekend's results and to preview what's coming up. Let's go to some of the score predictions coming into us now. You back home have got to get in touch with your thoughts and how you think the Blues will fare tomorrow night against the Cobblers. Pompey Hazard on Twitter is thinking we will win 2-0. Craig Vaughan on Facebook says 1-0. Dave Watts is going for a 2-1 win. Malcolm Johnson says 3-0 Pompey. Ian Cale says another 3-1. Keith Spicer, 2-0 victory. And Alan Snelling is going for 4-0 to the Blues. Thank you to everybody who let us know their predictions via the socials. But what do you guys over the phone think? Freddie Webb, a quick score prediction from you, please.
2-0 Portsmouth, John Marquis getting a brace.
So, Freddie, just going for a 2-0 win. How about you, Alex?
I was going to say 2-0 as well, yeah.
Brilliant. Lads, thank you very much. And for the record, I'm also going for a 2-0 Pompey win over Northampton Town. And that's just about all we've got time for tonight. But be sure to tune in tomorrow evening to catch all of the unmissable action of the match that we've just been looking ahead to.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Fortford have found a way yet again.
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
The Blues put three past the Black Caps on Saturday. And Portsmouth have their most significant victory of the season. Four wins from five now for the Blues. And up next, they welcome Northampton to PO4. Join us for all the unmissable action tomorrow from 7. It's Pompey versus Northampton.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Can Pompey make it three in a row? Tune in tomorrow night to find out. You will not want to miss it, I promise you that. Alas, we have reached the end of our show tonight. A huge thank you to both Freddie Webb and Alex Mason for calling in tonight. Haven't they been great? I'm sure we'll get back to them very soon. Thanks again to Stagecoach Across Myself for supporting the Football Hour this season, and cheers to Robbie James, who's been helping out massively from back home to ensure the production of tonight's show goes smoothly, which it has. So again, thank you to Mr. James. Your Monday night on Express looks like this, then. Jeff and Adrian are back right after the news at 7 with a soft rock show. Dan Ogus returns from 6 o'clock with Scattering the Roots, and then from 11 we've got nothing but great hits all through the night until 7 a.m. when Liam Howes takes over for Portsmouth Breakfast. He's sitting in for Mason Jordan, who is having a well-earned week off. Nicola Lashley will be here from 11 in the absence of Darren Gamblin before handing over to Ian James, who has the latest instalment of the victory years between 2 and 4. James Percy will be back for Drive Time, and then it's time for John Brown, who brings back the Composer Series from 6. And then from 7 o'clock you can catch all of the unmissable action, including live kick-by-kick commentary of Pompey's home tie against Northampton Town match day 9 in Sky Bet League One, aiming for a third consecutive league victory. Can Pompey do it? The only way to find out is by tuning in to 93.7 Express FM or iFollow Pompey from 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. As always, thank you for tuning in, Pompey fans back home. Have a great night, have a great week, stay safe, and play up Pompey.